This is a Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, March 13th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
shares of HSBC jump after naming a new chairman to oversee Europe's biggest bank.
Oil continues to fall below $50 a barrel as U.S. drillers continue boosting activity.
Goldman Sachs joins the rush on Chinese stocks as evidence mounts of economic strength in Asia's largest country.
A blizzard about to bear down on the city. And today's the deadline for the Trump administration to produce evidence of phone tapping. I'm John Tucker. The story's straight ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, the Nets win the Battle of New York. The Rangers cruise in Detroit. Villanova's a top seed, while Syracuse left out of the dance.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City Cashflow Real Estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are little changed to lower. S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 1, NASDAQ futures down 4. The DAX in Germany, the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 are all up 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.2% today. Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 2.56%, the yield on the 2-year 1.34%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 7 cents to $48.42 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $6.70 to $12.08 an ounce. The euro $1.0666. The yen 114.59.
Get your shovels. The Northeast is bracing for a powerful storm that could bring blizzard conditions and more than a foot of snow to the area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn joins us live with the details.
Michael, the storm hasn't even formed yet, but once it does, it's going to become a powerful nor'easter that'll move up along the coast tonight and into tomorrow. It'll bring snow and rain into the Washington area late this afternoon and this evening. Washington will likely see 4 to 8 inches of snow by the time it ends early this tomorrow afternoon. New York City will see snow develop after midnight tonight. That ends late tomorrow, 8 to 14 inches for the tri-state area. And for Boston, snow will rise around sunrise Tuesday, ending after sunset Tuesday night. Boston, 8 to 14 inches. Some places north and west of Boston could see 18 inches of snow from the storm.
All right, Rob Carolyn, thank you. And we will be checking in with you throughout the day today as well as tomorrow morning. And we'll be sure to do that throughout the morning today and tomorrow. Meanwhile, trading is wrapped up in Asia for this Monday. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Marking Karen, most Asian markets were higher Monday as the dollar weakened after Friday's strong U.S. payrolls number. Tokyo stocks extended their biggest rally in a month, the topics remaining at December 2015 highs. South Korean stocks, meanwhile, were a standout, rising to their highest level since May 2015. Samsung Electronics led the gains in Seoul, Korean shares continuing to climb as President Park's ouster removes some uncertainty from politics in the nation. In Hong Kong, shares in HSBC rose while AIA group fell as the London-based HSBC named AIA's Mark Tucker as its new chairman. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong and the CSI 300 on the mainland were well supported after Goldman Sachs changed its call to a more bullish stance on Chinese equities. The ASX 200 in Sydney lost momentum, energy players leading the declines, while broker Comsec said around $17 billion worth of dividends will be paid to Aussie investors over the coming weeks. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Julia, thank you very much. Shares of HSBC are up 0.9% in London this morning after the bank named insurance executive Mark Tucker to succeed Douglas Flint as chairman. Rosalind Chin has the story from HSBC headquarters in Hong Kong.
AIA CEO Mark Tucker will be the first external hire to take on the role of HSBC chairman starting October 1st. Now, Mark Tucker has had over 20 years' experience here in Asia, which should come in handy, because although HSBC is Europe's biggest bank, it's also undergoing a so-called pivot to Asia, and it's staked a lot on the growth opportunities here in this region, particularly in the Pearl River Delta. Now, next up for HSBC will be a new CEO, and finding one will be a key job for Mark Tucker going into 2018, a person to replace the current CEO, Stuart Gulliver. Rosalind Chin, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Rosalind. Goldman Sachs is joining the rush on Chinese shares, becoming the latest major brokerage to upgrade the market thanks to mounting evidence of strength in the nation's economy. Goldman Chief Asia-Pacific Strategist Tim Mo tells Bloomberg why he's bullish in Chinese equities.
The reflation dynamic is very much in play. And the area that we would highlight here is the improvement in nominal GDP growth. Most people think in terms of real GDP growth, but the increase in inflation and the better operating environment is actually flowing through to corporate earnings and also to market performance. So to give you just one number, China, we have a 270 basis point increase in nominal GDP growth this year, even though we're expecting a very mild deceleration in real GDP growth.
Goldman Sachs strategists boosted their forecast for Chinese equities this year by nearly 25%. Goldman had previously lowered China to market weight on December 1st.
In the U.S. this week, the Labor Department issues reports on inflation ahead of the Federal Reserve's rate decision Wednesday. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Dugice reports.
The danger of deflation is past. Economists say Tuesday's producer price index, a gauge of wholesale prices, will probably register a year-over-year increase around 2% for February. Wednesday's consumer price index is forecast to show an even larger increase, roughly 2.7%. Fed Chair Janet Yellen has said falling behind on inflation could harm the economy. Vinny Del Dugice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. And oil is extending declines below $50 a barrel this morning as U.S. drillers continue to boost activity. That's countering OPEC's efforts to drain a global glut. Bloomberg's Anthony DiPaola covers energy for us from our Dubai bureau.
There's somewhat of a loss of confidence that OPEC can deliver on the cuts and that they can meet their target to bring down the stockpile. So it would look like some people are trying to hedge their bets on the price rise.
Checking oil prices this morning, West Texas Intermediate crude is trading lower. It's down a tenth of a percent or 6 cents to $48.43 a barrel. Brent is little changed, up 3 cents to $51.40. And futures this morning, they are little changed to lower. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in John Tucker to tell us what's going on in the world. John?
Well, it's the Northeast, and it's bracing for the winter's last hurrah. Blizzard, Michael, expected to sweep the region starting tonight, possibly the season's biggest snowstorm, dumping up to 18 inches on Central Park. National Weather Service has issued a blizzard watch for coastal regions, including New York City, surrounding areas of Long Island, Westchester County, and Connecticut. The winter storm watch was in effect for a larger area of the Northeast, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New England. Federal records show New Jersey Transit logged the most accidents last year among the 10 biggest U.S. commuter railroads. The 21 accidents disclosed online by the Federal Railroad Administration were more than double those involving the Long Island Railroad, the nation's largest passenger train service. New Jersey Transit also had the most mechanical breakdowns in 2015, according to the most recent data available. NJ Transit is already under state and federal inquiries for violating safety rules and operating protocols. Lawmakers are expecting the facts to come out soon concerning President Donald Trump's claim the Obama administration tapped the phones at Trump Tower. Bloomberg's Remy Innocencio has details.
The Department of Justice has a Monday deadline in the U.S. to give some proof to the House Intelligence Committee. The top Democrat on the House Intel panel says either the president made up the charge or he really disturbingly believes this. Meanwhile, Republican John McCain has said the president has one of two choices, either retract or to provide the information that the U.S. people deserve. March 20th is another date to watch. That is when FBI Director James Comey testifies to the House Intel Committee on those allegations. He's already asked the DOJ to publicly reject Trump's claim. They haven't yet. Remy Innocencio, Bloomberg News, New York.
Former Vice President Joe Biden was at the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas yesterday, speaking to the crowd about the Cancer Moonshot Initiative. Biden saying things have come a long way since President Nixon declared a war on cancer back in the 1970s.
We now had powerful new technologies and tools like immunotherapy that makes cancer cells visible to the immune system so our natural defenses can destroy the cancer.
In December, Congress passed the 21st Century Cures Act, authorizing $1.8 billion in funding for the cancer moonshot. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Michael.
John, thank you very much. 6:09 on Bloomberg. Now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Michael. March Madness is here, and the number one overall seed belongs to the Big East's Villanova Wildcats. The defending national champions have Duke as their number two seed, who's actually favored by Vegas to win it all. Iona will battle Oregon, and Princeton faces Notre Dame. Syracuse and Jim Boeheim snubbed despite a recent win over Duke. They'll play in the NIT. Tough loss for the Knicks. Not only do they fall to the worst record in the league, but it's for bragging rights, losing in Brooklyn 120-112. Four starters scored in double figures for the Knicks. Wasn't enough, an 18-point halftime deficit, too much to overcome. Carmelo Anthony says it's taking a toll.
You know, losing games and the way we're losing games, and you know, that it's challenging, you know, to kind of to try to keep it tight, try to keep everybody positive around here, knowing that, you know, some frustration, you know, probably I crept into the locker room.
Melo finished with 27 points. The Nets had seven players reach 10 points or more, capped by Brook Lopez with 25. Brooklyn still owns the league's worst record by 8 games. The news much better on the ice for the Rangers in Detroit.
Chris David in, shoots, that's a fucking wild. Rebound, McDonald James out of just miss. Centering pass, Stalin shoots, Rosen makes a stop, rebound, score!
Fifth goal of the year for McDonough, more than enough as the Rangers cruise 4-1, tightening things up in the East thanks to Washington, best record in the league, losing its fourth straight. The Rangers are in fourth place, just 5 points, however, out of first. Out West, the Sharks made quick work of Dallas 5-1. Spring training, Yankees pounded by Atlanta, Mets fall to the Tigers, while Team USA in the World Baseball Classic beats Canada 8-0. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. Let's take a look at the markets. S&P futures pretty much even on the board, along with Dow and NASDAQ futures. The 10-year yield is at 2.56%. The 2-year yield is at 1.34%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the Mount Sinai Hospital of New York. Which hospital you choose can make all the difference in the world. The Mount Sinai Hospital ranked on the honor roll of best hospitals in America by U.S. News & World Report for you for life.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and this update is brought to you by Brown University, a school of professional studies engaging mid-career professionals with executive master's degrees in business, cybersecurity, healthcare, and technology. brown.edu/executive. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. The Fed is the focus of a big week for central banks. A rate hike is almost certain on Wednesday. Meanwhile, the Bank of Japan may stand pat on Thursday, and the Bank of England is expected to do the same. UK Prime Minister Theresa May must quell a rebellion in her own party to win the power to trigger Brexit. Lawmakers vote today on a bill authorising her to begin talks this month. President Donald Trump will likely dial down criticism of China's yuan policy. That's according to Steve Schwarzman, CEO of Blackstone and chairman of the President's Strategic and Policy Forum. And some big names could get a mention in Manhattan federal court today as legendary sports gambler Billy Walters answers charges of conspiracy and wire fraud. There's a chance that golf champ Phil Mickelson will be called to take the stand, while Carl Icahn also figures as a witness. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Chris Kirkham, thank you. And futures this morning are now little change to lower. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures down the same. NASDAQ futures down 4. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.56%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 19 cents to $48.30 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.40 to $1,207.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.0669. The yen, 114.55. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
All right, thanks, Karen. Major snowstorm bearing down on the Northeast later today. Forecasters say more than a foot of snow could fall on New York and Boston. Heaviest snow expected tomorrow morning, but it's going to start late tonight. The Congressional Budget Office expected to issue a report as early as today that could impact Republican chances of passing their own health care overhaul, which repeals Obamacare. And President Trump last week accused the Obama administration of wiretapping phones at Trump Tower during the campaign. Now, Republican Senator John McCain is telling the administration to either provide evidence of wiretapping by today or issue a retraction. And finally, from Bloomberg Daybreak this morning, the brackets are set. Defending champ Villanova took the overall number one seed in this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament. Looks to become the event's first repeat winner since the Florida Gators in 2006 and 2007. And North Carolina, Michael, and Kansas landed two of the other top slots. But the smart money may be on number two seats. Duke has the best odds of winning it all. This according to Westgate, the Las Vegas Superbook.
Not go Michigan. Oh, I'm sorry. No rooting in the press box.
Oh, forget it. I was going to say I don't bet, but Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 100. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
And good morning to you once again. I'm Bob Moon. We are joined this hour by Christopher Sell, editor of the Bloomberg Brief Oil Buyer's Guide. He's in our London studio. Chris, stop me if you've heard something like this before. Oil is extending declines below $50 a barrel this morning. WTI now down to $48.35 a barrel as U.S. drillers continue to boost activity, countering OPEC's efforts to drain a global glut. Boy, this sounds familiar. After futures in New York fell 9.1% last week, the biggest weekly loss since November. Chris, even an unplanned 11% drop in crude production in Libya due to clashes among rival armed groups didn't seem to help OPEC's cause. Has oil just got a lead balloon attached to it now?
Morning. Yeah, I don't. We could swap places, I think, because I think we're going to keep saying the same sort of thing. You know, OPEC must be exasperated. You know, the price is back to where they all started back in November, as you said. They've tried their best. They've come out with this agreement, got everyone on board. Saudi's leading the cuts. It's doing all it can. And yet, US is doing exactly what it feared, and that is just boosting output. Stockpiles are rising. Rigs are coming back online. And it's very difficult to see what it can do at this current point to, frankly, you know, shift the narrative of this situation. It's just going to continue. I think they're going to have to just keep calm and carry on, really, because, you know, rigs are going to keep coming back. I mean, okay, now, as you said, WTI did fall to the lowest level, I think, since November on the back of the details last week. So that could well, you know, be very interesting, I think, to see what happens with the rig counts in the next coming few weeks, see if that's maybe a tempered enthusiasm to keep putting rigs back online. We'll see then. I mean, as things stand, if oil drop keeps sort of tapering away, if you like, it might slow things down. But it's a difficult situation for these guys.
Well, I do want to offer some at least relatively new information. So, where does the rig count stand now? What's it look like?
So basically, rig count is, I think they added another 8 last week, according to the Baker Hughes data. So I think we're at 617. Basically, the rig count has doubled almost since May last year. And they just keep coming back online. The majority are going into the Permian. There seems to just be sort of seeping oil everywhere you look. And that is not helping. You know, that's, I think, you know, the fundamentals are just not helping OPEC. You know, last week, I think EIA announced the fourth weekly record inventory sort of number for the US. I think it's something like 528 or so million barrels now in storage. That's, you know, the highest going back to 1982. So that's not great. US production is above 9 million barrels a day again, I think, for the third or fourth week in a row. And as you said, the rig count is rising as well. So all these fundamentals are just not helping the situation. And that is why the price dropped down. That is why OPEC is probably tearing its hair out. And that is why we're seeing some more volatility coming back in the market.
Okay, about 10 seconds left here. And there's nothing on the horizon to really change that?
No, but it'll be, you know, so Tuesday, OPEC's monthly report will be out. Wednesday, IEA's report. So that will be the next sort of official set of data to see how OPEC and non-OPEC production has fared in February. Okay. That might give them a boost, if you like, from the compliance point of view.
Chris Sell from Bloomberg Brief, thank you very much. You can read Chris's analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletters. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com or for terminal customers, Brief Go.
Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover Challenge. What's possible? Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers on the Land Rover lineup during the Only Adventure sales event, or call 1-800-FIND-4WD Land Rover Above and Beyond.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Michael Barr.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A powerful storm that may dump between 1 and 2 feet of snow is set to hit the Northeast. We'll have the very latest from Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn throughout the morning.
Shares of HSBC are up 0.9% this morning after the bank named insurance executive Mark Tucker to succeed Douglas Flint as chairman. Tucker, chief executive officer of AIA Group and former head of Prudential, will take the post October 1st.
Intel is said to buy automotive technology company Mobileye for about $15 billion. This, according to Israeli newspaper Haaretz, which says the deal could be announced as soon as today. Shares of Mobileye are up 33% in early trading.
Goldman Sachs is turning bullish on Chinese stocks. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis explains.
Goldman's the latest brokerage to upgrade its estimates thanks to evidence of strength in China. The bank's strategists are now overweight Chinese stocks, according to a note dated today, Monday. Goldman's new positioning would represent a gain in the MSCI China Index of almost 25% for 2017. The gauge has already climbed 11% this year, outpacing the wider Asian region and the 5.6% advance in global stocks. Goldman's analysts have upgraded their earnings forecast twice in a month, and they see some $54 billion of investment flows from mainland China into Hong Kong in 2017. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Brian. Brian, and oil is extending declines today as U.S. drillers continue to boost activity, countering OPEC's efforts to drain a global glut. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate is down about 0.8% or 36 cents to $48.13 a barrel. Brent is down 0.6% or 32 cents to $51.05.
Time now for the Volatility Index Report, brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesvix. The VIX fell 5.2% on Friday to close at 11.66. And separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are at 4.37% up to 12.17. And that's this morning's volatility report.
Futures this morning are little changed. S&P futures down about 2 points. Dow futures little changed. NASDAQ futures down 3. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Time now for news with John Tucker, and it's brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better. John?
Michael, spring arrives next week. Looks like somebody forgot to tell Old Man Winter. The Northeast is bracing for a blizzard. It's going to barrel into the New York region starting tonight. And Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn is keeping watch for us.
John, a significant winter storm on the way for the tri-state area. Snow is going to develop after midnight tonight, and it will be heavy at times tomorrow. Should taper off tomorrow evening. Right now, it looks like much of the tri-state area will see an 8 to 14-inch snowfall from this storm, though we may find amounts that are higher over central and eastern Long Island. Also looks like there'll be some blizzard and near blizzard conditions as high winds develop with the storm system as it deepens, working its way up from the coast of North Carolina this evening to off the coast of New England late tomorrow.
It looks like we're going to get the worst of it tomorrow morning. The House Intelligence Committee is asking the Trump administration to submit by today evidence that the phones at Trump Tower were tapped during the campaign, as President Trump is charged. Republican Senator John McCain says Trump has two choices, either provide the evidence or retract his allegation against a former President Obama. India's Prime Minister Modi has swept that country's most important state election, with his party winning an overwhelming majority in Uttar Pradesh. Bloomberg's Harsha Subramanian has details in this report.
Modi's BJP recorded a spectacular victory by winning over 300 seats in a 403-member assembly. This win bolsters Modi's chances of seeking a re-election in the national elections of 2019. This also vindicates Modi's policy of demonetization. The note ban has worked politically for Prime Minister Modi. The results today also reveal the complete disarray in the opposition parties, which is yet to present a serious challenge to the BJP's onward march. Harsha Subramanian, Bloomberg Daybreak, Mumbai.
Wall Street's former top cop is looking for a job. Preet Bharara was fired as Manhattan U.S. attorney on Saturday. He was one of 46 U.S. attorneys appointed by Barack Obama, asked to resign by the Justice Department. He refused and then was fired. In November, Bharara said he'd been asked to stay on in the new administration and had agreed to do so. The New York Times says Bharara secured convictions or guilty pleas against more than 70 people in insider trading cases in the hedge fund industry. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Michael.
John, thank you very much. 6:35 on Wall Street. Now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Michael. NC2A basketball selection Sunday has come and gone. The top overall seed is Villanova from the Big East. They make a run at consecutive championships. Princeton draws Notre Dame while Iona faces Oregon. The luck ran out on Syracuse, not invited to the tournament. They'll play in the NIT. NBA, Knicks and Nets threw down for bragging rights. All Brooklyn as Brook Lopez's 25 points anchored a 120-112 Nets win, just their 12th of the year. A double-double for Kristaps Porzingis goes unrewarded as Knicks coach Jeff Hornacek had to deal with foul trouble.
Well, we started the game trying to go big so KP didn't get some fouls. With Brook, we knew they would go to him early, so we didn't want to get KP fouls. But second half, again, at that time, we had no choice but to go big, and, KP ended up fouling out. So we had to try to go small and see if we can get after it and switch things.
Carmelo Anthony added a game-high 27. On the ice, the Rangers had no trouble at the Joe in Detroit. Ryan McDonough scoring his fourth and fifth goal of the season, 4-1 the final. McDonough on the bounce-back win.
Learned a tough lesson there against Carolina, not coming out in the third and only playing a 40-minute game, and it cost us 2 points. So here tonight, it was a lot closer to 60 minutes, a little bit in the second there. We got hemmed in our zone, but I thought all lines contributed, and we did some good work on the special teams.
Things are more crowded atop the East as the Capitals drop their fourth straight, which means despite being in fourth place, the Rangers are only 5 points out of first with 13 games to play. In baseball, Team USA beats Canada 8-0 in the World Baseball Classic to advance. The Mets taken down by the Tigers, Yankees roughed up by the Braves. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Michael?
Rob, thank you very much. The man nominated to head the Securities and Exchange Commission, Jay Clayton, will be coming before the Senate for confirmation hearings later this month. From the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom, Nancy Lyons takes a look at the nominee and the questions lawmakers will likely ask.
Jay Clayton is a longtime deal-making lawyer, corporate lawyer, mergers, IPOs, so his client list is really long.
Bloomberg BNA's Rob Triganelli says lawmakers will want to know more about these clients.
It is very much a who's who of large financial institutions, so Barclays, Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, RBC, hedge funds like Pershing Square, Brown Brothers, Harriman, Evercore, Volkswagen.
And his views are still a mystery concerning issues facing the SEC.
How he stands on things like investor protection and enforcement priorities, it's not really known when you look at his resume as a corporate lawyer. And so that's another thing you can expect. And that's not just a Democrat issue. That's both parties. They're going to be interested in what his priorities are.
Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
Thanks, Nancy. It's 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View.
the opinion section of Bloomberg.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. The cuts that President Trump has proposed for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reveal alarming pitfalls in his approach to budgeting, a reluctance to invest in the future, a disregard for science, and a willingness to damage a well-functioning government operation for minimal payoff. NOAA's budget is targeted for a crippling 17% hit. The cuts would be especially deep to divisions that work on climate modeling, so they might seem unsurprising coming from a climate change doubting president. But even those who question climate change should recognize the need to monitor climate patterns and carbon levels. Data that goes uncollected today cannot be retroactively gathered tomorrow. In any case, NOAA also works on weather forecasts which protect all Americans and businesses from storms and flooding. When the proposed NOAA budget cuts come up for review, Congress should reject them. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Time now for the Bloomberg Green Business Report, and here's Bob Moon.
Good morning. South Africa's government is moving ahead with plans to allow a domestic trade and limited export of rhino horns, alarming many international conservationists who believe rhinos will be more vulnerable to poachers after a record slaughter in the past decade. Draft regulations would allow a foreigner with permits to export for personal purposes a maximum of 2 rhino horns. Critics argue that any exported horns would be hard to monitor and likely would end up on the commercial market, defying global agreements to protect threatened rhino populations. Most of the world's rhinos live in South Africa. The horns are treasured in Asia, especially Vietnam, for their supposed healing properties from cancer to headaches, although fingernails and hair are made of the same substance, keratin. And that is your Bloomberg Green Business Report.
Bloomberg View, brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, winner of the 2017 Dealer-Rated Dealer of the Year in New Jersey and Consumer Satisfaction Awards. Experience why and to find the way you drive at BenzelBusch.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Bentley University. What do developing apps at Facebook and analyzing data at Biogen have in common? An MBA from Bentley University, where you will explore innovation and leadership because businesses everywhere prepare here. Futures this morning are little changed to lower. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet today with Dow futures down 2 points. S&Ps are also lower by 2, and Nasdaq futures are lower by 3. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.56%. Asia markets were higher overnight, led by 1.1% gains in Hong Kong, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 10 o'clock, labor market conditions index. And in deal news, Mobileye jumps 34% in the pre-market on reports of a potential $14 to $15 billion takeout by Intel. Wrapping things up, AIG cut the sell over at Deutsche Bank. At Goldman Sachs, Johnson Controls cut to neutral. Boeing cut to equal weight at Morgan Stanley. And Finisar raised a strong buy at Raymond James. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And it's that major snowstorm bearing down on the Northeast later today, Karen. Forecasters say more than a foot of snow could fall on New York and Boston, the heaviest snow expected tomorrow morning. It's going to start late tonight. The Congressional Budget Office is expected to issue a report as early as today that could impact Republican chances of passing their own health overhaul. It repeals President Obama's signature legislation. President Trump last week accused the Obama administration of wiretapping phones at Trump Tower during the campaign. Now Republican Senator John McCain is telling the Trump administration to either provide evidence of wiretapping by today or issue a retraction. Sports, we'll get your brackets ready. NCAA tournament begins this week. Top seeds, Villanova, Kansas, North Carolina, and Gonzaga. NBA action, Nets beat the Knicks. Hockey, the Rangers and San Jose win. The Capitals lose. And finally, Michael from Bloomberg Daybreak. The disappearance of fitness guru Richard Simmons from public life has shaken America to its core. Well, not in my neighborhood, but anyway, Dan Taborowski's podcast, Missing Richard Simmons, is the most downloaded on iTunes. He lays out four possible scenarios. Simmons is being held hostage, recovering from knee surgery, suffering from depression, or just wanting to lay low.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the fourth one because we heard a report that he's okay and quit worrying about me, and well, I do miss the guy.
I'm going to go with another scenario. Nobody cares. That's just me. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. President Donald Trump's spending priorities seem to imply big cuts in the federal workforce, at least those parts of it not engaged in defending the country. How big is the federal workforce? It was 2.83 million in February, according to Friday's jobs report. That's up a little from the 2.79 million when Barack Obama took office, but about the same as what federal employment was back in the mid-1970s. That's right, in 40-plus years, the number of people working for the U.S. government has barely budged. It did decline in the Bill Clinton years, but then mostly came back under George W. Bush. These numbers don't count active-duty military, whose numbers have been falling over the decades, or government contractors, whose numbers have risen. Still, the seeming stability is interesting. Can Trump really change that? Should he? I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com or ViewGo on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here again, John Tucker.
For endowments and pension funds struggling with crummy returns, it's small business to the rescue. Small business loans have turned out to be a decent investable asset class. Bloomberg's Janet Lauren looked at the University of Michigan endowment.
They are putting money with new managers in lending strategies, and we highlighted two. One was lending to small businesses in China, the other lending to small businesses in Spain.
A quarter of private debt investors in a recent survey by the research firm Preqin said their portfolios outperformed expectations last year. A majority said they plan to increase their allocations this year. The private credit is backed mostly by non-bank financial firms looking to fill a void left by banks that cut back on small business loans under tighter regulations. Yeah, that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
John, thank you very much. Time now to check on what's going on in Washington, D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Senate voting this afternoon on CMS Administrator nominee Seema Verma for Medicare programs. The Institute of International Bankers annual Washington conference continues today. Senator John McCain is calling on President Trump to substantiate claims that the Obama administration wiretapped his office.
The president has one of two choices, either retract or to provide the information that the American people deserve.
With more on this story is Bloomberg's Jennifer Epstein, who joins us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. First of all, good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
What is the story now, latest with John McCain? It's basically almost a line of like, listen, if you're going to make this claim, then you have to have the information. At least this is from John McCain's viewpoint.
Right. He went out on TV yesterday on CNN and said that he had no reason to believe the president's charge that President Obama wiretapped during the campaign. And if he wants to continue to contend that or not explain that, that's not okay. But the president could clear this up very quickly. If he did have some evidence of it being true, he could call the CIA, the DNI, and just say what happened, and that would be enough. But instead, the White House has kind of gone silent on this for the time being. And it's a hard thing for a Republican like McCain, who trust the intelligence agencies and also is a little bit adversarial to President Trump, to just kind of go along with this kind of thing and defend the White House on it without any evidence.
Also, over the weekend, Fred Barra, the high-profile Manhattan federal prosecutor, said he was fired despite President Trump asking him to remain in the post. And Barra says that Trump made the request when he was president-elect.
Right. So this promise seemed to have come out back in November that Preet Bharara was going to be able to keep his position, even if many of the other federal prosecutors appointed by President Obama were going to be ousted. And then instead, what happened was that he was among those 46 who were told at the end of last week to pack up their stuff and leave. And it sounds like rather than just kind of resign, because he had which was what the administration had asked him to do, because he had had this promise from the president, he waited until he was fired to actually leave the job. So it was, you know, kind of a flashpoint. And he, of course, is somebody who has been very aggressive, or more aggressive than most federal prosecutors, in going after Wall Street. He certainly is very focused on financial crime, on you know, some political corruption issues in New York City, New York State, looking into associates of both Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio, as well as, you know, have expressed some interest in looking into some of the entanglements that President Trump had. And that's another reason why it seems like, even if President Trump had sort of thought, maybe I like this guy, he might be okay, you know, that ultimately somebody looking into the administration isn't somebody who the president's going to want to keep around.
Bloomberg's Jennifer Epstein, thank you very much. She joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. You can read more about these stories and more on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Time now to take a look at what's coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance. And in Washington, D.C., here's David Gura.
Yeah, hey, Michael. I'm in Washington today and tomorrow. And if the forecasts hold true, I think I might be here all week. We're looking ahead to German Chancellor Angela Merkel's visit to the U.S. She's scheduled to meet with President Trump tomorrow. And then, of course, there's the two-day Fed meeting that's scheduled to kick off tomorrow as well. Carl Weinberg is going to join us. He's the chief economist at High Frequency Economics. Katie Stockton will be here as well. She's the chief technical analyst at BTIG. And as we await that score from the CBO on the American Health Care Act, that piece of legislation that would replace Obamacare, replace the Affordable Care Act, Douglas Holtz-Eakin will join us. He's former director of the CBO. He's now with the American Action Forum. We're going to get his thoughts on the bill itself and also on the role of the CBO. There's been all of this commentary about how partial it is, how impartial it is. We're going to have him weigh in on its role here in the next few hours here on Bloomberg Surveillance.
David Gura, thank you very much. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura coming up shortly. And now over to Karen Mosco with the check of the markets. Karen?
All right, thanks, Michael. And we continue to watch futures here. They are a little changed to lower this morning with S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 8, NASDAQ futures down 3, and the DAX in Germany up 0.1%, 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 2.56%. And for Michael Barr, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.